Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I am Brietta, your host. And, you know, I've been thinking about wellness and primarily selfishly because I am trying to focus on how do you stay well in the fullest sense of the term when everything around you is just constantly changing. You know, the world that we're living in has always been fast-paced, but recently the changes that are happening around us, whether it's personally or professionally, or, you know, the global landscape and everything that's happening as a global community, it's a lot to take in for a human being. And so, as you know, I created this space so that we could have conversations with people who could help us think and feel more deeply. And so this is an area where I felt like I need to find someone who does this for a living, who can help us think through how we can be well. And I've stumbled across an amazing individual. Her name is Jess Glazer. She does wellness for a living as well as lots of other things. But she has a background that I think is going to really help us think about how to stay healthy and well, in again, in the fullest sense of the term. And I'm so happy and privileged that she's here. Hi, Jess. How are you?
Good, Brietta. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm super excited to talk about this. And I know that in my own world right now, this is a conversation I feel like I'm having day in and day out. So it needs to be said. People need to hear it.
Absolutely. Well, before we jump into the conversation, tell people a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
Sure. So the easiest thing to say would be that I'm a business coach right now, but that is not where I came from. So I really started my path going to school for my doctorate of physical therapy. I spent 8 years working as an elementary school phys ed and health teacher. I've been a personal trainer, celebrity personal trainer for 18 years, and made the transition into the more digital space about 3 years ago. I had started about 6 years ago, went full-time 3 years ago, and that's where I sort of accidentally fell into business coaching after building my own personal online business into a very successful business. So yeah, I'm helping other people build their businesses online.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because I think, you know, at first blush, people would think like, oh, those are two very separate things. Except when I hear it, I definitely think about sort of the idea of being fully well, right? And feeling balanced and in a good place in sort of every aspect of your life. And I think we know that if your professional life is not feeling stable and good, it can just trickle into everything else. And so I'm interested from your perspective, the people that you're coaching currently, how are you having this conversation with them about how to define being well or balanced or what, however they would describe that? How are you having that conversation?
Yeah. So one of the things that I do, first and foremost, I know my scope of practice. And so when we come into business coaching, people want a lot of tactical strategy. But what I know from my own experience is that what they actually need is a lot of wellness and mindset work. So one of the things that I implement in all of my coaching, I actually have a mindset coach on staff. And so that mindset coach comes in and kind of helps, you know, refresh us every week or every other week with the things that might be going on. And something that we're seeing right now, it used to be a lot of, I'm scared of what are other people going to think of me or imposter syndrome. And now it's just a lot of fear of showing up or how do I get out of bed or my spouse is home or my kids are home and I don't know how to navigate. My quote unquote me time has been dissolved. And so we're really leaning back into a lot of the basics and the foundations of what is wellness. So
I think that really is the key. It's the reason why I wanted to find someone to have this conversation with, because I think, you know, as human beings living in this very mobile, digital first, you know, society, there's so much talk about wellness that I think that we feel like we're all really well-versed in it. Yeah. And we sort of know just enough to be dangerous, right? And so we think that we're like, I know what it means to like take care of my body and take care of my mind and take care of my finances. But then you take all of that and you put it in this new context of people who are working remotely, maybe for the first time, or people who are, you know, navigating careers that were completely put at a standstill because of the global pandemic. And as you mentioned, family dynamics and all of that stuff. And I'm just curious, what are some of the ways that people can show up for themselves and just, I mean, even just to acknowledge that, like, I am not operating at my best right now.
Yeah. So I think for me, in my belief, in my experience, I personally don't believe in balance. I think there's a dance. And once you can kind of get comfortable knowing it's a dance and things don't always have to be balanced, because they probably won't be,
right,
then it's having a little bit of grace and a little bit of forgiveness with yourself and understanding that sometimes you might lean more into the business and sometimes it might be more family. And sometimes, you know, your workouts might slip or your food might slip, and having that grace and knowing it's okay. And where is my energy going right now? But almost doing a weekly check-in where maybe it's every Sunday or every Monday, and you can actually go down the list and kind of score yourself, really have a scorecard. What did it look like in my personal relationships, my romantic relationships, my me time, my workouts, my nutrition, like all these different things, kind of check in with yourself every week. And then on a bigger scale, really every 90 days is where I would really focus. And if you journal, which we can talk about, I'm a huge journaler, every 60 days, even every 30 days, you know, checking in with yourself there and using this kind of scorecard just to say, hey, where did things maybe slip this week? Where do I want to put my attention next week? And not judging yourself for what it looks like, but rather just using it as neutral feedback.
You know, you're really touching on one of the areas that I definitely struggle with personally. So the audience, you guys are going to take a journey through my own personal struggle with this, the judgment part of it, which is like, oh, I didn't get it right this week. Like I didn't do as much, you know, me time as I should have, or I could feel that I didn't really hit the ball out of the park in those areas. And that judgment part is so difficult to sort of like combat, because you always feel like you're constantly starting from a deficit. And so how do you navigate that? Like, how do you get to a place? Cause you mentioned about having grace for yourself in the process. How do you get to that place?
The only reason I got to this place myself was because I went about it the wrong way. And I burnt out and I had health issues, and I don't want any listener and I don't want any client to have to go through this. So for me, unfortunately, I had to kind of see the spectrum on the other side before I kind of woke up to it. I've had a lot of health issues in the past. I've had a cycle of burning myself out over and over until I finally started to listen. And so for me, it really did take it happening personally. You could tell me all day that it was going to happen. It didn't matter. I needed it to actually happen to wake me up.
Right. Yeah, I think that makes so much sense. And I know with your background, you know, you've worked in fitness, you've worked, you know, in coaching, all of the, how do you help people really carve out the time necessary to sort of check all those boxes? Because it feels like we have more time, and yet doesn't seem like we have more time to do the things that we need to do. So how do you help people carve out that time?
So one of the things I do right at the beginning, I'm very strict with my schedule and I teach scheduling. So it's one of the things that I do. And we talk about different things like batch working or time blocking. I use a technique called the Pomodoro technique, which is a really simple, it's kind of 20 minutes on, 5 minutes off. And you set a timer. I use a YouTube channel that you can find there for free, where it kind of has binaural beats that play in the background. So it's like a low hum. It almost sounds like white noise. And they'll play for 20 minutes and then they'll go off. And it triggers you. It tells you when they go off, that's your 5 minute break. And what you're supposed to do is actually move, physically get up and move, whether it's walk around, do jumping jacks, put the phone down, don't scroll through Instagram, don't answer one more email, just stop. And you repeat that cycle of 25 four times. So you essentially do 1 hour of really deep work. And then at the end of your 1 hour, you take a 20 to 30 minute really long break, at which point that's where I would say go outside. Even if it's raining, even if it's cold, go outside, get some fresh air, really ground yourself. If you can touch the earth, get some sun. For me, that's what fuels me, but it's really important to understand what is the thing that fuels you. So for me, it's nature and movement, but for you, it might be reading a book. It might be calling a friend. And so really looking again without judgment, what is the thing that fuels me best? Where do I feel energized and rested? And then leaning into that is almost your reward or your treat after your focused work. So
I love that. I love that idea, because I think that as you were saying that, I was asking myself the question, like, what really feeds me? And I think I'm similar in the sense of, like, I have to be able to get outside, you know, I have to be able to feel fresh air on my face and, like, get that sense of being connected to the world outside of me, which is why you and I both are in New York City. So, which is why when we were in the throes of quarantine, I have, like, a tiny little Juliet balcony. And I was never more thankful for this balcony. Like, yeah. I was actually able to set out, like, it was just enough space for, like, two chairs out there. And so to actually sit outside and, like, feel the sun, feel oxygen on my face was truly, I said this to people and it was not an overstatement. It was absolutely life-saving for me because I felt, I didn't feel trapped in sort of like that box of my apartment. But I think you're right. It's about trying to understand what really feeds you in a way that's going to restore you. Cause I think that's the thing that I've been thinking about. It's like, what is going to make me feel full again in this process? Mm-hmm. Because you can feel very depleted in trying to navigate all of these different things. What is something that you're most commonly hearing from your clients when they're talking about trying to check all those boxes? Like, what are people, are you seeing a trend in what people are struggling with the most?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the trend kind of goes back and forth between just general overwhelm, which then causes analysis paralysis. And it's, I have so much to do, I don't know where to start.
Yeah.
So it's another thing that we focus on here. It's a really interesting concept, these to-do lists that we set. They drown us and they make us feel really overwhelmed. And most humans actually do better with a healthy amount of pressure, most of us. So that's why, if you remember back in, you know, high school when you had to write the term paper, you kind of, you had 2 weeks to write it, but you waited until the night before and then you got it done in an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
So we love this healthy amount of pressure. So something that I have my clients do and that I've been doing for a couple of years is less is more, right? Mm. So put less on your to-do list for the day, but more over the course of time. So instead of trying to do 10 things on your to-do list or five, just focus on one. I mean, three is really, really bold, but one thing per day or one thing per block of time. So if you're kind of working in a certain area during the morning and then a different area in the afternoon, one thing per area. And that's where we kind of bring time blocking in. Another thing is I use something that I call a loop list. And I just, this is a game changer. I love this. So for me, my loop list goes on Friday. It's Friday afternoon. I usually spend 1 to 2 hours. I would say start with a half hour or an hour. The things that are on your to-do list, I know I'm not alone here, that don't get done.
Yes.
And you just kept putting them like on the next post-it note, the next, and it just keeps getting moved from one to-do list to another.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I respond to this. I understand what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah. So on Friday, you're going to block off either a half hour or an hour. And that's going to be your loop list. What you then do is you go into that list of stuff that just keeps getting moved and you just start chipping away with complete detachment of how many things you're going to get done or how long it takes you. You start at the top of the list and you just chip away. You don't pick which one sounds like the most fun, which is the easiest, which is the hardest. You just go in order. And if you do this consistently week after week, all of that stuff that is piling up will eventually start to decrease, which will actually make you more productive during the week the rest of the time, because you don't feel that weight, that subconscious heaviness of I have all this stuff to do.
Totally. And you know, it's interesting because as you were saying that, you know, one of the things that I know has helped me in the past, and it's interesting because even though you know something helps you, you may fall off of that practice.
Yeah.
And even though you know that this is like, this is how I'm best able to navigate my life. And I've said this to other people in my personal life. I just respond to structure in that way. Like I almost need like a program or something that helps me. Like even when I'm working out or training, I've never been someone who can just like go to the gym and work out. Like I need like a 30 day or a 90 day something. Like I know that about myself. And it's funny because as you were talking about sort of chipping away at those tasks that keep looping back around, that's one of those things where it takes a certain amount of self-discipline to be able to do that, which is something I believe we're all working on. but it takes a certain amount of self-discipline. So do you help your clients with like that accountability piece? Because I think that's one of those areas where it can be a game changer. Like if you have someone who can not just hold you accountable, but really cares about you like achieving something.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the biggest things. I mean, our signature program that we have, it's a 90-day coaching program. We have 9 coaches in there. And the reason we have 9 coaches is exactly that. So we can actually see screenshots of people's Google Calendar to make sure that they're doing, even if it's take a day off, they have to prove it to us, you know, that they're doing whatever it needs to, they need to be doing, submitting homework, getting audits, everything like that. Yeah. So yes, accountability is huge, and finding a group of people that can support you, whether it's a coach, a mentor, friends, your own little pod that you put together, having that like-minded person, having that someone to check in on you. It's so important.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about sort of that community piece, because I've been having so many of these conversations over the past several weeks, and I really have heard this theme about community and how it really is, it's the differentiator for navigating stress, difficult times, et cetera. And for you, when you're looking at something like wellness or fitness or even business, you know, how does someone go about building or finding a community? Because I think that that can be, it's a game changer, but I think sometimes people don't know where to go and how to find that.
Yeah. So I have been working with coaches for about 6 years now, maybe even a little bit longer. And I found them through other coaches and through other friends. So I would say the first place to start would just be reach out to a couple friends that you know might be going through something similar, or maybe it's just a peer, maybe it's somebody that you talk to every now and then on social media, but isn't necessarily a close friend, and just open up the conversation. Hey, would you be interested? Would you be willing? Could we do weekly checkpoints? Could we put together a little group, a little pod? It could be a DM. It could be, you know, WhatsApp, Voxer, or something like that, or just text message. You don't have to pay for it. This doesn't need to be like a complicated thing where you're investing a lot of money. It could just be a group of people just want to hold each other accountable. And then from there, I think when you start to kind of get more involved in searching for coaches and mentors and certain people that you're following and podcasts that you're listening to and books that you're reading, you start to become more aware of these like little pockets, which sometimes I forget. I'm in a bubble, you know, it's my bubble. So I forget about it, but there are these little pockets. There's different industries. There are accountability coaches out there. There's accountability support groups. There's tons of, you know, fitness challenges that you can join. Even searching hashtags will help kind of populate different things that are going on. So you can kind of look up different types of hashtags and Google, and there's so much information out there, and some is free and some is paid. Facebook, there's tons of free Facebook groups that you can join for accountability.
Yeah, that, I think that's a great idea. Those are some really tangible steps. Like, I love the idea of searching hashtags, because I mean, you can literally, there's a hashtag for everything. So if you truly are looking for something, you're like, I don't know where to start. Like, that is such a low impact way of figuring out what's out there, who's out there. You start following their content. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you sort of become introduced to a new community of people, which I think is really important. You know, you and I were talking before we went live about the fact that when you're walking around New York City, it's an interesting feeling to be walking around the city, because it's not the city that you know and love. Yeah. And so I was saying to you, you know, you start out the day with all of these positive intentions, right? Like, I'm going to own the day. I'm going to be positive. I've checked my 3 things I'm grateful for this morning. And then you go outside and you're like, oh, that's boarded up. And oh, I don't see that. And like, this mask is itchy. And like, and it's so easy to quickly sink into that, like, space. How, you know, do you have any sort of like tips or ways that even you personally are trying to navigate what is truly an easy slide into like, oh, this doesn't feel good?
Yeah. I'll give you a few. So for me, when I'm starting to feel like I'm sucked into one of those kind of negative spirals, obviously I can lean into gratitude, but sometimes it doesn't work, right? It just isn't feeling like enough. So when in doubt, focus out. And so if I'm feeling at all stuck or not grateful or negative, I can focus my attention out. I can reach out to a friend. I can serve a client. I can jump on my stories and give a ton of value. And then by serving and for focusing out, you end up receiving, because in a non-selfish way, right? People say, thank you. People are like, wow, that was great. Your friend appreciates you, whatever that looks like. So focusing out is really important. And then for me, dance parties, like I have to move. I have to physically move the energy.
Yeah. It's, so you know, I completely respond to this because it's so funny. I remember, you know, I'm an actor by trade and I'm in other industries, but that, you know, as a performer, I have noticed, like I noticed this about myself when I first started training in this as a craft, that the ability to move your body is so huge. Yeah. And I think sometimes if we have negative connotations around that, like if you suffer with any sort of like body issues or any of that stuff, which I definitely have a history of struggling with issues around that. So I had to switch. And it was interesting because it was a really great mentor of mine. She was a professional dancer, but she was a great mentor of mine. And she was able to help me attach positivity to like just moving your body. And she was really helped me to break the idea of like, it's not about exercise as punishing your body, but about like, once you start moving, at least for me, I know that I'm able to think. Like I was saying this to someone else, I was trying to explain to them that like, after I've been walking for like 20 or 30 minutes, all of a sudden I realize, oh, I'm actually thinking more deeply than I was 20 or 30 minutes ago. So that connection between just moving your body and getting out of your headspace, I think is huge.
Yeah. And if we take it back to, and I love this, you know, I've been a trainer for 18 years. So I am very, I believe in movement and exercise for so many different functions. But if you remove and you detach from that and you go back to just like the animalistic approach of just even shaking, like animals, when they're nervous, when they're excited, when they're about to pounce on something, that they shake, they kick, they run, they move. And that's because we truly are just energy and it gets stuck inside of us. And that's where anxiety starts to, you know, you start to feel that I can't breathe or I'm nervous or I'm overwhelmed. So if you can just shake it out, not because you want to lose weight, not because you want abs, not because you need to do a certain amount of reps, but just dance it out, shake it out, jump around. Like it really, truly is incredible.
I love that.
Yeah. And the last thing, if I can just add, I wanted to add one more. So we have gratitude, we have focusing out, we have moving and dancing. And then my last one would actually be, and this has taken me years to work on, but reframing the way that not just I think, but the way that I speak. So even small things like I have to go do this, or I'm stressed out because I have to go do something, reframing it and catching myself. It's not, I have to, it's I get to. And when you can really, it truly, I know it's a little woo woo. So some listeners might be like, oh, what is this girl talking about? But when you can start to shift into that, where you're approaching things from, you get to do these things and how wonderful is that? It really starts to rewire your brain and your emotions completely.
And it does sound like it's a practice. And I like that you framed it that way, because I think going back to what you said earlier, it gives you grace to figure it out. Like it's a practice. It's something that you have to keep doing because it may not be your natural default. I remember one of the biggest breakthroughs that I had about personal wellness, because I came to it from a place that was very like, you know, fitness is something that you have to do in order to look a certain way. Wellness is something that you have to do in order to like be okay. And it didn't feel like a privilege. It didn't feel like a gift that I was giving to myself. And one of the things that really set me free around the idea of embracing wellness was that it gets to be whatever I need it to be in order to like make my engine run. And it helped me have a little bit of grace about the fact that like, I was never going to be like a marathon runner. Like that's just not my journey. Right. Well, at least at this point, that is not my journey, but like I could get into kickboxing, which was something that like I loved, or some of these other things. So I like that idea of sort of reframing the way you're seeing things. Yeah. And having grace for the fact that like, you're not always going to get it right, but like you get to try it again. You get to try to do it right the next time, which is really key.
Yeah. So, and that's the journey. We're not supposed to be perfect. And a really great tactical tip just for anyone listening who's like, well, how do I catch myself? Because I say negative things all the time, or I'm not even aware. So something to bring awareness. I read this in a book years ago by Gabby Bernstein, and she puts a rubber band on her wrist. So you can use like a hair tie, a rubber band, and when I first started doing this about 6 years ago, I used a neon rubber band. So it was very obvious that it was there and I didn't forget about it. And she called it the snap out of it method. So if you find yourself gossiping or in a negative spiral or shame talking, whatever this might be, you're literally going to gently snap, or not so gently, the rubber band on your wrist to give yourself a trigger, a physical trigger to say, hey, hold on.
Yeah.
Let's think about this for a second. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, what I'm hearing in that is about being present and intentional, right? Mm-hmm. Like trying to be awake to yourself, which is something that I think we all struggle with, although it's an interesting time that we're in because, and I'd be interested to hear what your perspective is on this, but you know, because of COVID-19, everyone slowed down. And so I was having this conversation with a friend and I was like, it's like you're waking up to yourself because you've been going so, so fast for so many years. And, you know, that's especially true, you know, if you're a New Yorker or like in our industries, like you're literally just been going at mock speed for years and years. And then all of a sudden you're forced to slow down, which then forces you to like sit with yourself a little bit more, even if you think that you've been doing that. Yeah. And so all of a sudden you're paying attention to these rhythms in your thinking and like you said, your speech and how you frame and think about things. And so I love that. That's like a tangible way to pay attention and be like intentional and present in your everyday life.
Love it.
Well, one of the questions that I definitely wanted to ask you is like, when you look at sort of like 3 months from now, 6 months from now, what is something that you in particular are excited about? Like, what are you looking forward to?
Ooh, I think at this very moment, I'm excited for things to start to, you know, reopen and just be able to hug my mom. My mom's immunosuppressed and I just I haven't been able to see her or hug her, and you take for granted those things. And like, I really want to hug my mom.
I have to tell you, I completely respond to that because I was saying to someone, I've always known this about myself. I am someone who loves my tribe of people. I'm one of those people. I'm intimately involved with the people in my life. And so to not feel as though I can grab my friend and just hug her or to like hold their hand or any of those things, I have definitely felt the loss of that. Yeah. And that is also why I've been so focused on trying to stay well, because the things that I used to reach for to like make me feel good or, you know, soothe the madness or whatever it is, it's like, I can't reach for those things. And, and, you know, we love technology and I love the fact that I can see them, but like, it doesn't replace the fact that I can just like literally grab them and hug them. Yeah. And so I completely respond to that. I get it and I understand it. Yeah. I think one of the things that I'm looking forward to is a time when we know what normal is again. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I know it won't be what it was, but I'd love to know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
So we can start like figuring out what normal or something is going to be looking forward.
I agree. There's something about it, you know, you don't realize until it's gone, right? Like we walk around the streets now and yes, everything's boarded up and I can't wait for the boards to be gone because it just feels heavy subconsciously.
Yeah.
But to be able to just pop into a restaurant and like sit down and get something to eat or
it's so true.
Yeah. It's crazy. I'm like, I miss it. And
I know
the magic, it's kind of the magic of New York when it's not open is
it's really interesting because it really underscores the fact that it's not the place, it's the people, right? Like there's something about the people that gives it the energy and all of that. And to your point, you can check off a list of the things that you're grateful for. And I always, you know, I get into this space where I sort of like shake my finger at myself. I'm like, but Brietta, you have so much to be grateful for. But I also think that it is about giving yourself grace to just mourn the things that like you miss, you know, that really bring you joy. And you're right. Like literally just stopping into a restaurant to like meet a friend and like have a meal. Like those are things I miss.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And I love that too, that what you said about giving grace, because those emotions can live in the same room. Like you can be grateful and You know, you can be grieving and it's okay. You can have both emotions. You can have more than one.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Well, Jess, I wanted to give you an opportunity to sort of share with people where they can find you, some of the places that they can maybe follow you and learn more about you.
Yeah. First and foremost, if you're open to it, I'd love to gift your audience. I have an entire training on Google Calendar, time blocking, masculine energy, feminine energy, and kind of how we use our schedules.
We love that. Thank you.
Yes. So that's over at jessglazer.com/Google Calendar Guru free. And we can put that into the show notes, I'm sure. But best place to find me would just be on Instagram. I'm at jess.glazer, G-L-A-Z-E-R. Please come say hi. I, of course, have a website, jessglazer.com, but I'm mostly on Instagram.
Well, I want to thank you so much for having this conversation. I selfishly, I said this in the beginning, I have these conversations because they're the things that I'm thinking about, but I'm always hopeful that it's doing something for the listeners who maybe are having similar struggles or issues or thinking about some of the same things. And so I always consider it a privilege when people are willing to share their expertise. And I definitely am taking away from this conversation about having grace for where you are in the process. I think that in and of itself is such a healing thought that if we can, like if you can tackle one thing out of all of the amazing things that Jess shared with us today, I know I personally am going to take away the idea of like having grace for myself, being a little more loving to myself in this process, acknowledging that like there's a lot of stuff going on. And so it's okay to not get it right 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. So Jess, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I learned so much and you're such a lovely person. Thankful.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and I hope somebody got something out of it.
I'm positive that they did. And to everyone who's listening, definitely check out Jess, both on Instagram and on her website. We'll have all of that information in the episode description so that you can access it easily. I say to you guys all the time that if nothing else, I hope that this has been a positive moment in your day. I hope that it's made you think and feel things a little bit more deeply. And I'm always appreciative when you spend a few moments with me and the people that I bring onto the platform because I believe in the power of conversation. And I hope that it's added something to your life and to your day that's going to grow you forward. I'll talk to you all soon. Bye.